Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark, and today is March 14th, 2016. Welcome to the Age of Fission radio show. True to until we have get some real resolution on this one, we are interviewing citizens and activists again from St. Louis because there's an ongoing catastrophe in St. Louis that is being ignored by every branch of our government. And in my view, every branch of the government, for the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers to just be mulling along and acting like this isn't a catastrophic emergency is ignoring it, in my view. So I was going to interview Mary Osco, who was the woman who spoke up at the Adams Next Door Symposium. I had contacted her and she was going to be on, but she's the woman who had brain tumors and is quite ill. She lives right next to Coldwater Creek. She wanted to give her personal testimony, but I contacted her yesterday and she just was not feeling well enough to talk on the radio. So this morning, we have our good friend Wendy Lumetta, who has generously offered to jump in. That happens because we do have people in St. Louis who are sick. So they can't just like make a plan. This is the net effect of what nuclear radiation does to us. So thank you, Wendy, for joining us. I want to welcome you to the show this morning.
Lonnie, thank you so much for having me again. It's always wonderful to speak with you. Your kindness and generosity to the people in St. Louis to make this a passion project has been really heartlifting for me. I know that you work and go to school and certainly have other aspects in your life that you could be out enjoying. And so for you to take on the people of St. Louis and take us under your wing feels really good. It feels like people do care out there. So you've really helped restore my faith. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the kind words.
Well, thank you because they're most sincere. I did just want to say one thing about Mary Osco, and that is actually, unless I'm horribly mistaken about her diagnosis, I believe she actually has stage 4 lung cancer.
Oh my God.
And so I really hope that she does not have brain cancer.
Okay, I beg your pardon. Well, but either one is okay. Catastrophic.
Oh, they're terrible. I just wanted to
clarify what she had.
Unless she had had some new...
No, thank you for correcting me. Thank you.
Sure.
You know,
this is
what happens to me, Wendy, is I'm so overwhelmed. This is what we were talking a few minutes ago. You know, we always sort of brush over what we want to talk when we're on the show to make sure we get the points in. And you asked me, well, what would I like to talk about? I have to say, I was thinking about how overwhelming emotionally this is to the people. It's not must be. This is to the people of St. Louis who are, and maybe this is why the people who say they, quote, aren't aware, just can't face it. because it is seriously overwhelming.
There are many reasons why. A lot of people simply don't understand the science of it because, you know, even atomic science has only been around for a little bit more than, or I should say radioactivity has been around for over 100 years, and we're still learning about it. And science is something that has not been traditionally revered in the American school system. It's, you know, reading
or
and writing
American
and writing.
Or the American government. Let's be clear. I mean, the science of allowing you people, the people of St. Louis, to be living right next door to a nuclear dump site and a fuse wrap site that's on fire, that's not science.
No, it isn't. It's very, you don't need to have science, but it certainly helps. But I think the part of the government culpability is that they simply are keeping it under wraps so tightly that there are still so many people that live in the vicinity that simply have no idea. And that's another reason I appreciate your involvement in this, because it's extraordinarily difficult to get local media involvement because the local media is simply being controlled. And, you know, they would rather have a story about the best restaurants in town than they would about the ongoing chemical radioactive fire burning.
Or how people survive lung cancer, or how people survive brain cancer. Instead of asking why are all these people getting lung cancer and brain cancer, they are just giving us stories about how tragic it is or how great it is. So, look, one of the things that just hit me like a ton of bricks right before we got on the air was I asked how the legislation is going through the House to get the legislation out of committee. Because right now, the legislation to have the Army Corps of Engineers take over the remediation of the Westlake landfill site, correct, is stuck in the House because it's in the Committee of Environment and Public Works, I believe. Isn't that the name of it?
And I don't recall the name of the committee, but you are right. It did pass the Senate, and now it needs to get approval through the House through SB 4100 is the number for the bill.
That's right.
And yes, it is being held.
There's one congressman who's holding it up to keeping it, and it's a Democratic congressman. It's kind of a shock from New Jersey. Frank, isn't it Frank Pallone?
I believe so.
Right.
Actually, it's a surprise that he's a Democrat. I didn't realize that until you had just said that.
Yes.
But that, to me, only goes to show that, you know, the bipartisan politics are kind of equally corrupt.
Well, this is the thing you told me. This is where my mouth fell to the floor, and I've typed in some information on this. His wife works for the EPA.
That's correct.
Now, do you want to know what her title is? You could type in her name, and it's under this title of Women, Girls, and the Environment. That's what she's head of. Sarah Hospoder Pallone, Deputy Associate Administrator for Congressional and Intergovernmental Relations. Listen to what they say about her. I think it's time to contact her. Sarah Hospoder Pallone manages EPA's relationships with national associations and individual state, local, and small town governments on government on environmental issues, programs, and initiatives, including state relations, local government advisory subcommittee, and National Environment Performance Partnership System. Each one of those is probably, those are all in capital, so those are actual programs that they have going on. But this would be, you know what? This, I think, her phone number for people who want to contact her is 202-566-7263, and let me give that to you again, because we do need to contact her, especially since she is the head of Women, Girls, and the Environment, because as we know, nuclear radiation affects women and girls more than any, besides infants, any other part of our species. Women and girls are the most affected, next to children and infants. Infants and children, women and girls, are the most affected part by nuclear radiation. And she ought to be doing what she can to get this remediated immediately. and have it moved over to the Army Corps of Engineers. Have we figured out why the EPA is not helping in assisting in getting this going? Why they're hanging on to it?
Well, to be honest, I really believe that money must be a motivator, because it's not that they've been able to put this off for 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. It has been under EPA authority for 26 years. Frankly, I can't imagine any government, assigning a task to any government agency and then allowing them to just kick the can down the road for 26 years. There is something very wrong with that.
Wendy, you are making news to me. So you are telling me that the EPA has known about this for 26 years?
Oh, they've known about it much longer. It's been their jurisdictional authority for 26 years. It's been their responsibility for 26 years. It actually happened 43 years ago, as far as the dumping at Westlake. And then the dumping at Coldwater Creek happened much before that. But I believe that the EPA was not formed until, 73. Maybe it was more like 70 or 71. I don't recall exactly now off the top of my head. But it has been under the EPA authority, the Westlake Landfill and Bridgeton Landfill site, the Superfund site, since 1990. So in that time, since 1990, it took them until 2008, so 18 years, to study the site and come up with a record of decision. And when they came up with a record of decision, part of that was to include any harmful things that could happen along the way, any kind of catastrophic things that could affect it. And they completely left out fire as something that could happen, even though landfills are known to have fires. And by the time the 2008 record of decision had been issued, the landfill had already had at least one fire that they managed to bury in paperwork that was later sunshined. So
Wait a minute. Okay. You're telling me that they produced a paper after 18 years, and during that 18 years, they had seen a fire in the landfill already, and their paper that they produced did not include the possibility of a fire.
You got it, Lonnie. That is.
And we are paying taxes to maintain this agency.
You got it. It blows me away whenever I think about it, too. So that flawed record of decision, when the good people of the Missouri Coalition for the Environment and probably other environmental, legal, nonprofits looked into it, they, Kay Dry and other activists in the St. Louis area, fought the record of decision and said, we need you to re-review this to include all of the possibilities of things like earthquakes and floods and everything, and including fire. So since 2008, when that record of decision came out, then the EPA said that they were going to re-review the information and issue a feasibility study. Then they said they needed to issue a supplement to the feasibility study. And now, to my knowledge, they're working on the supplement to the feasibility study. So, in other words, every time they review the information, there's more or change. Mm-hmm.
I just looked this up as you were talking. You know who? I can believe this. You know who started it? I would say we ought to read the original documents of the EPA to figure out this freaking can of worms, because it was President Nixon that signed the Reorganization Plan Number 3, calling for the establishment of the EPA in July 1970.
1970. Okay. I knew it was in the
early 70s. So this is what I'm saying. Like, from 1970 on, we've had nothing but corruption. It was set up by one of the most corrupt presidents we've ever had. So its whole fundamental structure is corrupt. This is
There's no question. For a long time, I said that the EPA stands for every polluter's ally, because what they do is, instead of protect people from environmental health issues, they really seem to go to bat for the corporations and put the burden of proof on people that are hurt because in the American court system, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. So it takes people that are already sick and dying and you know, lacking the basic needs of life that would have to undertake a powerful billion-dollar corporation and prove that it is their poisons that are actually the government is removing them from the area, and it's the burden of proof it is on the person that gets hurt that this is the reason that they get hurt. Well, for as long as there is another reason that these people could get hurt, then the government has an end to deny it because there's that suspicion there. They haven't proved it beyond a reasonable doubt that it's the pollution causing it. It could be because they, you know, drank poison or some other crazy thing, but the government has been able to evade consequences because of the burden of proof.
That's so. Exactly what John Goffman said. He studied the people. I actually discovered this in a book I read. He had studied these victims of Hiroshima and Nagasaki himself privately when he left the nuclear industry for 20 years. He followed them. He did his own private study, and he basically came to the conclusion that the government denies radiation causes harm and that they underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90%.
That good old 90% rule.
I mean, it is, and we see it going on, but this is the shock about this woman. I mean, this, his wife, Sarah Hospoder Pallone, I mean, she works for the EPA, and he is the stickler on getting this out of committee. That is not an accident. And what's really the greatest offense is she is works for them in the Division for Women, Girls, and the Environment. That is just the most grotesque, sick joke I've ever heard of my life. She should be out there immediately. She should be advocating for this to be remediated and taken over by the Army Corps of Engineers, because the EPA has messed it up for the last, since they've ever had it.
Oh, right, for 26 years. Well, it, in some small way, while it shows an obvious conflict of interest and, you know, questionable ethics, to say the very least, I don't know that it's necessarily her fault, because it's his responsibility. He needs to push it through. And if he isn't because of his wife, then, you know, then he shouldn't be the one that's going to be making the determination because of the conflict of interest. The EPA has actually, I have read and reviewed so much information on them, and I am hard-pressed to find a single incident where they have done the right thing between the poisoning in Flint to the poisoning of the Animas River to, you know, I'm not sure if you knew about this story. It was a couple of years ago about there was a man who had some credential that was important and worked out of D.C. in the EPA. And for several years, he had been taking every Friday off, saying that he was in an intergovernmental program with the CIA. And there, no one ever questioned him, so he got every Friday off for a few years. There was no intergovernmental program with the CIA. He was a big liar. So then there was another incident at the EPA where some man was busted for child porn. And then my personal favorite story, which is that at one of the EPA region offices, they found that one of the employees had dumped their own excrement in the hallway of their office building. So,
well, that'll tell you how the people that work there feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's, you know, a pretty serious statement. So if anybody wants to write Miss to this division, it's called the U.S. Environment Protection Agency, Office of External Affairs and Environmental Education, Women, Girls, and the Environment. Their email address is publicengagement@epa.gov. This is actually news to me that just blows me away, because this woman ought to be talking to her husband about helping the people of St. Louis. There has to be a take as to why the EPA is refusing to even address this on a public health issue. It appears to me this is just what their actions have shown, that they really have no regard for human health.
That's absolutely true. Because of this, the fake coalition that is owned by Republic Services, the EPA seems to be kind of working hand in hand with them in terms of reinforcing the fallacy of to leave it there is a safe option, which is completely ridiculous. It's a cheap option, and that's what they're going for. And it's because at the other end of all that money is someone at the EPA receiving it with their hand out. I believe that completely. Ever since I found out that that the EPA that is going to be handling this regionally would be coming in from Kansas City every time there would be a meeting, I thought, why would they need to send someone in from Kansas City? Aren't there people here? Well, that doesn't contribute to the PR machine that they have going, who is largely who comes to these meetings. Now, with this latest meeting, which, by the way, I didn't even know about it, and I think the EPA perhaps gave people maybe a 24-hour notice before having it, and since then have come out and, you know, bragged that they had a meeting in St. Louis. Well, all it was basically to introduce another third-party person to be a mediator or to be a communicator between the EPA and the community. The community doesn't need another communicator. We need someone to fix the problem. We don't need someone else that's not an EPA representative. The EPA had something called a CAG, which is a community action group. And this committee would get together with the EPA on about a monthly basis and discuss the problems, issue questions from the public. It was basically a community understanding of what is happening at the landfill. And the CAG kept on uncovering document after document over decades of time that said, you know, this is dangerous, it needs to be gotten rid of, we need to, you know, remediate this immediately, and time again, all of the recommendations were ignored. So finally, the EPA started coming up with these rather detailed reports, which were written in legalese that no one could understand. So then the EPA had to get a person, her name is Terry Boguski, and she worked for a company called SCIO, and she was a person who would review the documents and put them in easier-to-read reports, which her work was very much appreciated. But unfortunately, her reports still indicated that our hometown is polluted. So when it's not that Terry was giving us the information, it's that the information is that they're still not doing their job. So now with this latest meeting, now the EPA has hired another person to be a go-between, and they keep on adding layers of people between there, almost to suggest that they want things to be misinterpreted by someone along the way. So I think the only way that we can really...
That's an interesting legal tactic. That's...
Yes. It's working for them. So what we really need is more transparency. To this day, it just burns me up that the federal EPA in 2012 made a National Remedy Review Board recommendation. You know, each of the regions of the EPA, there's, I don't know, maybe 10 regions or something that they each have their area of responsibility, and then they all report to the D.C. federal EPA. Well, periodically, the federal EPA needs to review the things that are still happening with, you know, the active places in the different regions. So in 2012, the federal EPA reviewed the Westlake issue, or reviewed the Superfund site, and for the first time in the history of the EPA, they changed what was going to be a review into something, they just renamed it into a recommendation. And by doing that, they made the information in the document, it went from being available under the Freedom of Information Act to being not available under the Freedom of Information Act. So the only difference...
You're kidding.
No, oh, no, I could never kid about this. So to this day, the people of St. Louis have zero transparency about what the federal government recommended in 2012 at the site.
Why?
Still don't.
Why? What is the reasoning for having?
Because the EPA changed it for the first time in history from a review to a recommendation. And by making that name change, it allowed them a legal avenue to make it not discoverable. So that's completely ridiculous. And in this day and age where we need to have transparency in government, the federal entity, the EPA, would just be able to change the wording of their report and make it so that we can't see what they're saying. I think it's horrible. I think it's the worst thing I've ever heard. And
well, why can't the people, what is the reasoning behind the people of St. Louis not being able to see what the EPA has recommended?
Well, let's see. The last time that I spoke with the PR representative from the EPA, I believe his exact words to me was, tough, move on.
So, what?
That's, I think I can quote verbatim on that, too.
Who was that that said that to you?
That was Mr. Ben Washburn, who is anyone that has been communicating with the EPA for any length of time knows. He is, you know, kind of the low man on the totem pole for the EPA Region 7 Public Relations Office. And he is a young man in his 20s. He's a veteran. He has a baby. And he lives in Kansas City. He couldn't be further away from the issues of St. Louis. And while being a professional federal worker, he makes no bones about saying that, if there are ways that the EPA has screwed up, well, okay, there it is. He doesn't make apologies.
Is he in the Air and Waste Management Division?
No, he's in the Public Relations Department. Ben Washburn is his name. And, he's a PR mouthpiece. He's told whatever the people, that are above him tell him to say. So, I really can't.
Well, I think people need to call the administrator's office. Let me take this number down. That's an outrage.
Sure.
That information needs to get out into the public. Like, the fact that, are you telling me that the people in 2012 in St. Louis, the EPA made recommendations that the people of St. Louis still do not know what they said?
That's correct. Not only was it the regional EPA, it was not the regional EPA, it was the federal EPA. It was the big guys. They made
so they're kind of their bosses, kind of like the division above them. The unit above them made recommendations, and that is not being allowed to be watched, looked at by the people of to whom live in that environment, who live there, right there. They're not allowed to see what's happening.
Yeah, they're not allowed to see what the actual federal EPA has recommended. They're not allowed to even, that document is undisclosed to date.
Because it's under the Patriot Act?
I don't believe so. I think it's just because of sunshine laws. Because, to be honest, I'm not sure. Because when you say because of Patriot Act, and I'm assuming that has something to do with terrorists, for many years people have speculated that if the fire hits the radioactive waste, that it could be essentially a dirty bomb. And also, what if someone who is a terrorist and would know what to do with these war source materials gets a hold of this stuff. So it now that you mention that, it could be something of the Patriot Act, but that is not something that I'm aware of. I don't know that those issues are more important than the availability of, Freedom of Information Act transparency within the government. We're paying these people, we're paying their salaries, and then they're not giving us the information? This is really an outrage for me.
Me too. So what is the name of that study, the exact title of that study, if we were to call the EPA?
It's the 2012 National Remedy Review Board recommendation. So the NRRB recommendation from 2012 from the federal government to Region 7 EPA regarding the Westlake and Bridgeton landfill Superfund site.
Wendy, you are just a treasure trove of information. Thank you for being so well informed. I am just always impressed at how well informed you are. So,
well, thank you. I think there's others that are much more well informed, but it really does take a village. And if we all take the little pieces of knowledge that we have and put them together, then we get a much better idea of what the full picture is.
Well, do you think it would help to call the Regional 7 Regional Administrator and Deputy Regional Administrator's office?
Well, I am all for, I have a list of people that I call on a daily basis. So, you know, if people that are interested in efforting this cause are not doing that already, then I really suggest getting a spiral notebook, getting all of the names and titles and telephone numbers and email addresses and, you know, Facebook addresses or Twitter addresses, list them all out, and then literally keep a daily log. Write down who you speak with. I have the names of many staff members of the governors and the senators and the congressmen.
And do you ask to speak to the senators? Do they give you their names? I mean, explain how that works out when you say, I have their names. When you talk to them, you take their name down?
Well, I mean, going into it, I know who I'm calling. But, whoever answers the phone, the very first thing that I say as soon as they answer the phone is, could I have your name, please? Because otherwise a lot of political offices will be evasive. My second question is usually, are you an intern? Because if they're an intern, then I have no desire to speak with them. I need to speak with someone that can actually talk to me about information and not just take a message. There are many reasons why I call the different offices all the time. Sometimes I'm looking for an update or something specific. Sometimes I just want to reiterate my feelings, like to all of these House members that are now kind of holding up HB 4100. Just spend a few minutes every day calling each one, write down the name of the person that you spoke with, and, you know, just say, I live in St. Louis. This chemical radioactive fire has been burning for 6 years now, and we really need, you know, the federal government's help. The Senate has already approved their measure, and now we're just waiting on the House. So it really depends on which government agency I'm speaking with. A lot of times, also now with the health study that is taking place regarding Coldwater Creek, I believe Erin Evans from ATSDR, which is the division of the CDC, she has a dedicated site now for Coldwater Creek. Before, people had just been calling her regular phone number and her regular email address, and I believe it became so overwhelming that she needed to have a dedicated line for that. So,
wow. And that is with what office is that?
That's with the ATSDR, which is the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, which is the division of the CDC. So it's
that is really
government.
Sad. That's really sad that they put in another phone line instead of actually moving to take action. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, well,
this is my frustration. They're willing to let us spout like a little tea kettle. We can piss and moan all we want. Excuse my language, but for them to actually like this, for me, I think. I am definitely going to use this information about the conflict of interest, about his wife being on the division for girls, women, girls, and the environment. I'll be honest, that's what I'm going to say when I call Frank Pallone's office and let them know.
Yep.
Because that
yep.
is, not only that, it is really just an outrage. That office that she works for, and that's what I'm going to do when I call her office, and maybe I'll even articulate it in an email, is that this, it's an outrage. She ought to be advocating for the Army Corps of Engineers to take over the remediation of this site. Just from a humane point of view, she's working on in the government agency that is for women, girls, and the environment. Which
right.
is,
and
she
I would
has
say
a moral
her humanity
obligation.
Level,
Go
well,
ahead.
Her humanity level is on par with poisoning children in Flint, you know? And it turns out the EPA had known about that for a long time before it finally, you know, came out in the news. So,
wait a minute. Is this the same woman at the EPA who ignored the email?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I don't know about that. I guess I'm just speaking in a general term.
No,
about
it's not.
EPA.
Her name was Hedman. Hedman. I remember
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's more just that the EPA, I'm struggling to think of a single time where the EPA has done more than, you know, clean up small areas.
Every polluter's ally. We have to steal that one. That was really great, Wendy. Every
well,
polluter's
they,
ally. That's really awesome.
Yeah, because really what they do is help them to find ways to spin the law to get around it. Right now I know that there was some kind of petition underway on Facebook that had something to do with Please sign the petition so that the allowable radiation levels are not increased. Who in their right mind would think that anything like that would need to be reviewed? There is no amount of safe radiation. The only way for it to be safe is for you to try to avoid it at all costs. So to even consider legislation, to even write legislation that says that, you know, they're considering raising the limits, that's just preposterous. We need the EPA to work for us, not for the companies that are polluting us. So,
well, it's my understanding they did raise the limits right after Fukushima. You're telling me that they're talking about legislation to raise the limits again?
I'm saying, like, yesterday I read online that there is something, a petition going around that says that, I'll need to find it and send it to you, Lonnie. It was specific to having the limits raised again, because, as I'm sure you know, between, you know, the Indian Point in New York and now this issue in Miami, there is literally radiation, you know, spilling out all over the place, you know, across the United States. So the U.S. is going to just have more and more problems with radiation exposure, and so they are trying to limit their liability legally by raising the allowable limits. That's all they have. That's all they can do, because they already know that people are getting exposed to it. So it's a sad state of affairs. I certainly wish that they would have worked harder to ensure that we never got to that point with many of these things. But we're here now. We can only move forward and keep trying to pressure those in charge and the elected to do the right thing. Clearly, this woman being married to the guy who's holding this issue up, it is a slap in the face to everyone that lives here, and to anyone it should be, because it's a direct conflict of interest. It's something that it should be illegal. It should be illegal for him to be on a committee that is a conflict of interest with his wife. It just doesn't make sense. They make money off of her salary with the EPA, and then he is, you know, making
on the committee. Yeah, on a committee that makes a decision,
right,
on whether the EPA gets funding on a program that they've basically messed up for a long time. I mean, if he keeps holding on, if he just becomes the, you know, refuses to move on this one, I mean, I wonder, it's so shocking. I was doing a little bit of research just as you were chatting there and talking, and I found a story online, and I'm going to dig into it. This lady, Hotspur, has sold some piece of property. A lady named Andrea C. Hospoder, with the same last name as this lady, Sarah, sold a piece of property to Republic Services.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something going on between Republic Services and this lady, Sarah. I mean, there's some dirty money going on here. That's the thing. It's not that hard when people make these transactions. It's not mm-hmm. that hard. I mean, it's all dirty money. This is kind of a can of worms. Maybe we can use this. I mean, I'm just sitting here while you're talking about this. I typed in her name and found these stories. So it's not just inhumane. It is talking about really dirty money going on and easily exposed. So maybe we can use this to our benefit and out these people and put some pressure on them. I mean, it's so outrageous that they are just hanging on to this and not allowing the remediation of St. Louis to get on with it. You know,
it's a horror. I don't know that these people have the scruples to understand, because it's not something that they're faced with in their life. As long as their life is going okay, then they're not really too worried about you know, toxic emissions and carcinogens floating in the air all around populated areas. I think that this is just a horrible
Do they not get this idea that nuclear radiation is not like coal ash, that this stuff gets into the air, into the water supply, it affects our entire environment. It's like a wash. It's going to wash over. It's not like you can stay isolated from it because you're living in a different state. You're in New Jersey, so the radiation from St. Louis isn't going to get to you. Yes, it will. It actually really seriously does get to all of us. The nuclear pollution is, I mean, I read a story this morning that said basically the entire world has been whitewashed with Fukushima pollution. It's everywhere.
Exactly.
I mean, this is.
And that's why we need, legislation that's actually not going to be protective of the government, but that is going to be protective of human life based on peer-reviewed scientific information that states, over a period of time, a child that weighs X amount of pounds or whatever can withstand X amount of radiation. And then they'll need this amount of time to process it or whatever. We need it to not just be based on 150-pound control band, and the 90% rule can't apply. We need to be able to use real science for this. And when some of the members of Congress deny climate change, then you realize that this is that you're trying to talk with people about something that they don't want to talk about it. They'd rather pray for you. It's
Right. They'd rather pray for you. Yeah, that's. They'd rather pray for you. That's true.
I'm sorry that that is how I feel about it, but it's pretty accurate. It's horrible. We need to embrace nothing but peer-reviewed scientific evidence that states exactly how much radiation exposure, a human being can tolerate. And the problem that these guys haven't figured out is that these studies have already been done, and the answer is zero. Nobody can tolerate any extra radiation.
Right.
So that really puts them in a pickle.
Well, this is what we talked about this on Friday. We did a Symposium for Life on my radio show in commemoration to 5 years of basically the nuclear volcano going off still in Fukushima. And, I don't believe we need the Nuremberg trials again, but we do need an apology from the technologists and the nuclear scientists and the nuclear industry to say, you know what, we're sorry, we messed up, we thought we could make this work, and it didn't, and it's really bad. And now we need to have unfettered science. We need to have corporations without the people from the EPA. I mean, I think about the people at the EPA, how horrendous they must, some of those people, the middle management people who know better, who have the intention of doing better, and are at risk of being blackballed, not just being fired, but being blackballed by the government if they speak out. I mean, that is a. I mean, it's like the mafia, It's like this is how the mafia works. It is,
That's not even an exaggeration. When you look at the story of Karen Silkwood, actually the people that are whistleblowers for companies are notoriously the ones that end up, mysteriously run off the road or, had some kind of bizarre accident. And, it's actually pretty dangerous business to be anyone against the government.
Well, this is the weird part. It's like when you say the government, for me, this is where I guess maybe it's because I'm 60 and I was brainwashed to believe that, quote, the government is looking after our best interest, right? Like, I think of these agencies as not the government, but just sort of agencies that are co-opted, but there is a culture so deep inside each of these agencies that just excludes care and concern for human health. It's like as if these agencies are perpetrating war on the American people.
And it's funny that you use that word, perpetrating war, because I think perpetration of war is one of the favorite things of the really of politicians. It's the control that they have. It's the testosterone, I guess, that they feel that they have to use. Because I read recently that that there's a plane that the United States government has been working on for a period of time, and this plane has cost so far $1 trillion. And the ironic thing is, it doesn't work. So I have to wonder how many people could have been helped by that $1 trillion investment.
They could have done to fix our infrastructure with $1 trillion. You mentioned Flint. I mean, they're whining because the pipes need over there, the whole thing. We need massive, massive funding to fix our infrastructure. And this business of just kicking it down the road and kicking the can and ignoring it and acting like everything's going to be fine while they continually fund the black hole of the military is outrageous.
That's the part that is upsetting the most, is that they perpetrate the war machine. They instill fear into United States citizens to make them feel as though they have to support the war, because to do otherwise would to not be a good American. I argue that point to everyone that thinks that ISIS is something, you know, ISIS is nothing more than individuals that are doing the wrong thing. I agree that they, you know, get together and do bad things, but
you know what? They are trained. We know for a fact. Let's be clear. ISIS is trained by our government. Do you know that there's been documents that show that we go in and we have to train these people how to kill? The CIA goes in and trains people how to kill, because they're just freaking farmers doing scratch dirt. They're not apt. I mean, now we have actually created a whole network. I mean, it's like big business over there. Killing is big business. Just like in St. Louis.
They want to sell United States guns. That's why. The U.S., like you said, it's big business.
War profiteering. But I actually think that there's war profiteering going on in St. Louis. This is so outrageous that they're arguing over who's going to get the money and who's going to do the work. And instead of just getting it done, like honestly, the fact that the EPA has done nothing, study after study, kick the can down the road, there is something at a deeper level here that we're not seeing. I mean,
There's no question.
I can't figure that. Have you been able to piece out this pie, like to figure this puzzle out, like why the EPA has chosen for over 30 years to ignore an entire metropolitan city and the necessity of moving this? And now the cat's out of the bag. It's not like they're trying to keep it a secret. It's not a secret. People are dying.
Not only are people dying, but it is becoming a bigger and bigger issue for them to deal with. I just can't praise the efforts of Janelle Wright and Kim Stone Byzantine for everything that they have done for the Coldwater Creek community. Certainly what's happening with Westlake is terrible and should never be happening in any community. But the people in Coldwater Creek have a much higher than average cancer rate, and it is directly related to this ionizing radiation exposure from these nuclear war weapons waste that washed into the creek. And if it wasn't for people like Janelle and Kim, we simply would not know that these war weapons waste even existed there. I had lived here my whole life. My husband had lived here his whole life. And we had absolutely no idea that Coldwater Creek had been polluted by radioactive waste. So,
do you know how long it took them to get the word out about this? You know, you say they did the background work. How long did it take for the community to become aware till it became kind of commonly known? Do you know that answer?
I would say it's still not commonly known. And that is
really?
Because so many people prefer to have their blinders on and to have their head in the sand. And if you try to say something to them like, you know, there's nuclear waste in the park down the street, they say, hey, did you hear this new band that played on Friday night or whatever? They are just simply not interested in hearing about it. And that's why generally the people that are efforting this cause right now are the people that are personally affected. Their family members are sick. They are sick. They, have had something catastrophic happen in their family, and they feel as though their conscience won't let them move forward because so they need to work on this. But there is still so much apathy. There's also so much racial tension in St. Louis, certainly because of Ferguson. And Ferguson is actually another impacted area. They are to the east of the airport, which is directly downwind of Coldwater Creek. So the idea that the people in the areas east of the airport are absolutely equally impacted health-wise seems, you know, entirely plausible and quite possible. But we don't have a lot of understanding, I think, of that group, because then you're talking about people that are economically depressed and have, you know, jobs that, you know, they're fighting just to get minimum wage here. They have infrastructure issues of their own in their neighborhoods that are failing. They have school districts that are, you know, not performing or unaccredited. And so they have more systemic issues. But these people are equally suffering from the effects of the ionizing radiation from Coldwater Creek. So I really think we kind of need to rally the whole community together. And that's why today there's actually a Bernie Sanders rally here in St. Charles. I really think that having someone that's going to polarize people to, or not polarize people, but depolarize people and get people to work together as a group. That's what we need more than anything else. We need to listen to each other and care about one another and take others' issues to heart and really try to help. I'll tell you, Lonnie, you have been an example to us for exactly how someone should be, and you really give my heart a lot of hope, because here you are all the way on the other side of the country caring about this issue. We can't even get local media to pay attention to us, and here you are talking to me. And I just think you're a wonderful blessing. So thank you so much for all you do. It's really wonderful and so appreciated.
Well, thank you for that compliment. But honestly, like, I actually feel like St. Louis is us. Like, we are America. This is what America is about. This is the thing. It's like, we are not separated from St. Louis. This is why I find it so outrageous that Congressman Pallone is willing to hold up one person is holding up the legislation to get real action finally taken regarding the Westlake landfill remediation site, and to actually have it taken, you know, out of the hands of the EPA, so that the people that can actually handle the job, who have the capacity to handle the job, can do it. And it is just, I to be honest, like, I'm just, maybe it's because of the work that I do, you know, my career, I help people with tax problems. So I am not against paying taxes or our government or our who we are as a people, but I believe that we can be better as a people, as a government. Our government can function better, but it's only when the people inside the government choose to have some ethics and integrity and decide that they're not. I mean, it's going to take a lot of pressure from a lot of people to call these people, you know, call Jim Pallone's office and say, hey, you know, we need to have you. You need to change your mind. I mean, because this committee only meets once a month. Last month, they didn't vote it out of committee. It didn't even get there. So he's holding it up. So, you know, next month, each month that he delays is another month of some other child or some other family member getting exposed to catastrophic nuclear radiation that they have no control over in their lives. It's a completely inhumane situation. I'm just dumbfounded, Wendy. I have to say, I'm nonplussed over it. I just am, you know, who would have thought that our own government, that there's one person, Congressman Pallone, is refusing to have any type of a conscience and to actually do the right thing because his wife works for the EPA. And for some reason, we know that Republic Services is paying somebody in there. I just found on the internet, just Googling while we're talking about her, you know, somebody by the name of her last name, my guess would be it's a long, dirty string of dirty pockets. You know, mm-hmm. Looks like maybe her sister sold some property to Republic Services, probably for a boatload of money. This is how these things work. You know, I mean, there was a piece of property. I haven't done the story, but there is. I just found it that there's a piece of property that was sold to Republic Services by somebody with his wife's last name, Andrea Hospiter, in Ohio. Now, that's a weird name to have. It's not that common. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, this is how dirty politics can get, but it's time for that. We don't need the Nuremberg trials. What we need is integrity. We need people to really decide, okay, we're sorry we were horrible, but time for us to grow up and save the planet, because it's really down to saving the planet. It's so outrageous. I mean, I don't know. I mean, in what we have, you mentioned President Obama. In 2013, President Obama increased the radiation levels already. They already raised the levels. They raised the levels up at the EPA so that now this would in fact increase the longstanding 1 in 10,000 person cancer rate to now it's 1 in 23 exposed over a 30 year period. So now 1 in 23 over a 20 year period is now acceptable. And the EPA recently put out a paper that said they expect one out of 1.7 person to be getting cancer from radiation.
And that is another reason why it's so important for you to have this show, so that people can become educated about it and learn how to limit their radiation exposure.
Yes.
Your public service and caring about people is so important. But besides that, I love the Spitfire. Let's get on Stallone's office. Let's call both of them today. And
let me give you her phone number, because at the EPA, you can actually contact her. And, you know, this is the shocking part about she runs the office Women, Girls, and Environment and the Environment. Yeah. That's shocking. That phone number is
in the face, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. That phone number is 202-566-7263. Or you could email them at publicengagement@EPA. And anybody can go to the Westlake Landfill Facebook page, or to Just the Facts Please at Coldwater Creek. What's the title of that Facebook page, Wendy?
That is Coldwater Creek, Just the Facts Please.
Yeah, and then anybody can go there and get that, because that is something that we all have to do, and to keep ourselves abreast of what's going on. So let me look up. I'm going to look up Frank Pallone. Do you know Frank Pallone's number off the top of your head?
I don't, and I'm on my device, and if I try to...
Well, that's all right. I'm going to look it up myself. It's Mr. Frank Pallone, and he is a Democrat. His Washington, D.C. office is 202-225-4671, and he's on the Energy and Commerce Natural Resource Department, both of those.
Awesome.
So if people could call him and tell him we need to have that legislation, 4100, correct?
HB 4100, correct.
That's right. And that's when they meet in committee. He's the one person holding it up. So next month when they meet, we want to have that moved out. So
absolutely.
Look, we have about a minute left. Wendy, I want to thank you for jumping in. And I hope that Mary Osco feels better when, you know, and at some point soon I'll be able to chat with her. She's anxious to speak, but I want her to speak when she feels well. So thank you for joining us. And this conversation has been quite an eye-opener. We've gotten a real education on just how corruption works, and this is exactly how it works. So I want to thank you for your exposure to this, and let's make those phone calls. I encourage everybody to put your courage feet on and do it afraid. You know, it does matter. Is there anything you want to say in the last 10 seconds?
Only that I hope Mary Osco is feeling better. We're thinking of you and praying for you. And thank you, Lonnie, again, for your care and attention to St. Louis.
Thank you, Wendy. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.